So the most famous thing I've ever written was called Dead Flies and Duct Tape, which was a TripAdvisor review for a hotel that really should have given me a refund. But the most important thing I've ever written, I wrote when I was 22. And so this was 1992. And I was at the Evergreen State College where I was getting a BA in making fun of hippies. I was majoring in applied cunnilingus. Earned that 4.0. My favorite lesbian prank was to lean over the dorm balcony and yell out to guys, "Hey, I fucked your mom." I was also madly in love with this married woman, and I spent all of my time trying to get her to leave her husband. So I was not thinking at all about my family back in Phoenix until the night of October 7th, 1992, when I had this dream about my dad. And in the dream, my dad is roped to a chair, and this military interrogator is right in his face. And my dad is telling this guy all about his brutal childhood. He's telling him how he didn't always have enough to eat as a kid, and how his own dad beat him with a 2x4. And I already know these stories as the reason that my dad was angry and violent when I was a kid. But here he is crying in this dream, which is something I've never seen him do in real life. And then this amazing thing happens. He manages to get his arm under the ropes, and he reaches his hand out to me like he needs my help. And I think, well, maybe I can help my dad break the curse of the shitty McCloy childhood. I'll give it a shot. And I wake up the next day in my apartment in Olympia, and I start this letter to my dad, and I write, "Dear Dad," and it's all about how I want things to be better. Because he's gotten counseling, and he'll take me out to lunch when I'm in Phoenix, but we're not really close. And when I get to the end of the letter, I can't sign it. And there's a good reason for that. Because even though I'm 22 and living in my own apartment, there is this deeper, darker part of me that is still a little 9-year-old in Phoenix, and it's my dad's birthday. And I hand him this card I've signed for him. And I'm really excited for him to read my signature. It has this special message for him. My dad opens the card and reads my signature line out loud to everybody. "Your loving daughter, Molly." He mocks me and he laughs at me, and both of my brothers laugh at me. And those two are looking at me like, "Molly, you idiot. Of course we're not allowed to tell Dad we love him on his birthday." Like, clearly I should have checked in with these two before I dared to sign a greeting card. And I've got my whole family laughing at me. I had somehow forgotten that, you know, my dad doesn't let us call him Daddy, and my brothers have been calling him Mad Dog Mike. And I just tossed my heart in the middle of this room, and they're stomping all over it. And I decide right there at 9 years old, I'm never taking another emotional risk ever again. Which cues up my destiny as someone who tells random dudes I fucked their mothers. Because I want to be the one laughing. But here I am, and I've written my dad this letter, and I'm afraid to send it to him because I'm afraid he's going to make fun of it. So instead of putting the letter in the mailbox that day, I put on my flannel shirt, my Doc Martens, and I head out to the campus art museum. This is probably a good time to tell you that when I entered my bong in the art show, I didn't think they'd actually put my bong in the art show. It was called the Tortured Love Bong, and I made it as a tribute to the married woman who wouldn't leave her husband. So I made it really shitty on purpose. I used chewing gum to stick a tinfoil bowl onto a plastic milk jug. And then I collaged the milk jug with cheesy statements about soulmates. And then bong water turned the whole thing brown, which is the artist I like to call a patina. And so here was my bong in this glass case in the middle of the art exhibit. so that it could haunt you from anywhere in the room, just like the Mona Lisa. And the title card read Love by Gloria Windsong, which was also my pen name for sarcastic nature poems I published in the college newspaper. So when it comes to making fun of hippies, the Tortured Love Bong by Gloria Windsong was my capstone project. I was pretty psyched on this achievement. But then I took a second look at the bong and I realized, you know, maybe if my dad hadn't made fun of that birthday card when I was 9, maybe I would have been able to tell the married woman that I was in love with her. Because not doing that before her wedding at this point is my greatest regret of 22 years of life. Like, maybe if I could have cut the sarcasm for 2 seconds, I could be with the woman that I love instead of smoking weed out of a milk jug. So at this point, I realize I've got to go home and confront the McCloy shitty childhood because it has been punking my adult love life. I got to take care of this. And I don't want to send Mad Dog Mike some letter offering him something. I want to send him a letter demanding something. So I start a whole new letter. And I write, Dear Dad, you have hurt me deeply. I want apologies for the following events. And I write, Number 1. And I really don't want to go back to number 1. Because number 1 takes me right back into my body as a little 10-year-old in a prairie girl nightgown, lying on the shag carpet, and my dad has just kicked me. And getting back up from that carpet is one of the hardest things I've ever done. It felt like I was swimming through heavy mud. And now that heaviness is filling my apartment in Olympia. But I do it. I write, Number 1, the time you dragged me down the hallway and kicked me in the chest. And as soon as I put the period after the word chest, I feel just a little bit better. I feel good enough to let myself go back to being small and helpless so that I can remember number 2. And then I go back to being small and helpless for number 3 and small and helpless for number 4. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, at least I got done with number 1 because that's got to be the worst one, right? It's my one example of physical violence. But then I get to number 7, and that's the time that my dad laughed at my signature on the birthday card. And I just lose it. I break down crying. I'm just this ugly heap of snot and tears. And I think, well, how can I keep going? How can I finish this letter? And I realize I'm just going to have to cop to it. I'm going to have to be honest with my dad about how I feel right now just remembering this stuff. And so I write, I cried a little bit with each one of these, but with this one I cried the most. It hurt so much because I offered you love and was rejected. And it's the most honest, vulnerable thing I've ever written. But having to be that honest and vulnerable about a bunch of childhood bullshit that's not my fault gets me nice and angry for number 8 and number 9, and now I'm just going for it. Like, I don't care that my dad came to every softball game. I don't care that he had a bad childhood himself. He's been cruel to me, and I want him to own up to it. And I have no trouble signing this one. I sign this one. You might as well apologize because you'll see me at Christmas. Molly. And I imagine myself taking a big bite from a turkey leg and staring down Mad Dog Mike until he blinks first. And the next day, I stick both letters in the envelope and I send it out. And I have no idea what I'm going to get back from this. And a week goes by, and then another week goes by, and another week goes by. And then there it is. There's a letter from my dad in the mailbox. It's a pretty decent-sized letter. I open it, open the envelope, and the first line is, Dear Molly, there is no excuse for doing anything but loving you. And it keeps going like this. It's 9 paragraphs of apology, 1 paragraph for each grudge. And I didn't even know he was capable of something like this, so I'm completely blown away. And I'm also just relieved that he wasn't mean to me. You know, I breathe this sigh of relief that feels like it's 22 years long. And then comes Christmas. And my dad says, you know, let's go take a walk in the park together, which is something we never do. And when we're there, he turns to me and says, you know, Molly, I asked my own dad for apologies right before he died, but he wouldn't do it. And I'm not going to make that mistake with you. And his eyes are wet, just like that dad in the dream. And we drive the first crack into the curse of the shitty McCloy childhood that day. But I can't say we broke it. Can't say that. Can't say we just overcame intergenerational trauma in 10 minutes. And we've been chipping away at it for 30 years now with a lot more walks together. We even took a backpacking trip to the Grand Canyon, but we still haven't broken it. But what I can say is that that letter that I wrote in 1992 was the most important thing I've ever written because it brought me my dad. And I still really don't like getting honest and vulnerable. Like tonight, I just wanted to tell you guys about all the carpet-munching adventures of Gloria Windsong. But I'm at my best when I take my cue from the little girl who signed a birthday card, your loving daughter, Molly.